Bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6. This morning I wanted to share with you on the third factor for living powerfully, for living wonderfully and dynamically, for redirecting ourselves to a fuller, more fruitful life. The factor of our authority in Christ. There is no human emotion, nor human logic or reasoning. There is no human heart that can withstand against the onslaughts of the devil and the evil spirit realm as it moves through this world. Only the Word of God, living in the heart and mind of a believing one, filled with the gift of Holy Spirit and acting upon the authority given them in the name of Jesus Christ, will ever be able to stand and withstand the scheming methods of the kingdom of darkness in our day and time. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, we'll begin. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." There are several Greek words that are translated power, might, strength, all really the words that have to do with powerful ability. And all of them have a more specific nuance regarding power, strength, or spiritual ability. The first word, as we see in beginning in verse 10, the first word is the word strong, and that is the Greek word dunamis. That word dunamis means potential or stored power. See where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong"? That word is dunamis, and it is a word for power, meaning power that is stored or power that has a potential. Then it says, "In the Lord and in the power." The next word, power, is the word kratos. That is power that has an impact or a causation. Then it goes on and says, "of his might." The word might is the Greek word ischus, which is power that prevails or succeeds over. Verse 12 goes on to say, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers." This word powers is the Greek word exousia, which I like to look at as the authority to exercise power at will. To put it in its simplest form, the authority to exercise power at will. Now, to put these words for power together, I'll sort of give you an example. I have a hammer and a nail. That's the potential stored power is in my arm. I have the tools, a hammer and a nail. I have the stored potential in the muscles of my arms. That's the dunamis. The exousia is I have the free will to exercise that power at will. At my will. I can drive that nail into, say I'm putting up a shelf and I'm putting the supports up. The potential is in my arms, in my muscles. I have a nail and a hammer, and I have the authority to pick up that nail and hammer and utilize it at my will to drive the nail into the support, for instance, to get something accomplished. So I swing the hammer, striking the nail head, and it makes an impact through the shelf support and into the stud behind the wall. That is Kratos. I hit it. As soon as I strike it, it's making an impact. It's a causation. It's making an impact. And that nail starts to penetrate through the support and into the stud behind the wall. When I am finished driving the nails into those supports, I can put my shelf on top, and I, with the whole idea of what I originally wanted to do, is have some place to hold my books. I place my books there. They don't fall off the shelf. They prevail. Iskus. Another example, I have this bottle of water. There is unseen power coming down on me called gravity. I don't see it, but it's nevertheless, it's there. I have power that's working against me, so to speak. Now, the potential again is in my arm. And the exousia would be to activate that power at my will. So I have this bottle of water here. I have the stored energy, the stored power within me. And now I exercise it and I hit the bottle. I grab that bottle. Soon as my hand touches the bottle, it makes an impact on it. And I start to lift that water against the powers that are trying to push it back down, gravity. So dunamis is the stored energy in my muscles. Exousia, I exercise it, it hits the bottle, makes contact, and I lift that bottle up, and it prevails, iskus. You see how all those words work together. They're all related to power, but there are different nuances of it. One is to represent the stored energy that's in my body. The other is my will to activate it, the impact it makes, and now it prevails. As long as I hold it up, it prevails. As long as I exercise my authority to utilize that potential power, I prevail over gravity. Beautiful. Understanding these words and applying the spiritual truth found in them, let's read further in this section. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And that certainly is today. Certainly is. The word evil is a word that means painful or labor, malignancy. It means to stand as opposed to fall. Just like, although gravity is pushing my arm down and I've got this bottle up in the air, I am prevailing against it. If we want to prevail against the devil and all of the evil spirit realm and all of its scheming methods, we want to prevail against darkness, it is going to require us to put on the whole armor of God. Some of you may have heard the phrase, never be satisfied with being a bare Christian. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be, and there's a purpose, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. There are pressures against us in the physical realm called gravity. If I want to stand, I'm going to have to prevail against that, which is that unseen pressure that's holding me down, so to speak. Stand as opposed the fall, pressure that is exerted against us. We are not untouched, but we are undefeated. In regard to authority, it's most often translated from the Greek word exousia. I counted 32 times that it was translated authority. And I'd like for you to see that it has always been God's will, it has always been God's desire for man to have power to exercise at will, most logically for the benefit of his kingdom. So let's go to Genesis, all the way back to the first chapter of Genesis, and we'll start to take a look at this third factor, this third spiritual law, so to speak, that God has set so that we can live powerfully, we can live dynamically, we can live a fuller, more fruitful life and redirect ourselves there. In Genesis chapter 1, and you might as well put a ribbon here because we may go other places and come back to it and simplify things for you. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Beautiful. God created, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." John 4:24 tells us and reminds us that God is spirit. We tend to want to think of him as looking like a man, but that's not what his image is. God is spirit. And if he is going to create man in his own image, then what he's going to have to do is not create the flesh and blood, not create the soul life that's in a man, not create the looks that are in a man, but he would have to create spirit within a man or a woman. And the word "so" tells us why. Here's the reason he created us in his image. So, see, verse 27 begins with the word "so." It's only a two-letter word, but it's very important because it tells us the reason why God created us in his image. God said, "Let's make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." You know, it says, "Let us create man in our image." We tend to want to create God in our image. We want him to look like us. But the scriptures say God created us in his image and likeness. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing upon the earth." So here's the reason why God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God did it because, here's why, in order for man to carry out his dominion responsibilities, he needed to do this for man. The reason he gave man spirit, or created man in his own image, in his own likeness, is so that man would have first the capability and then the authority to move at will in order to maintain dominion over the things he listed there. Man would be unable to do that without the Spirit of God. So God did that for man. Of course, we know Adam and Eve then transferred this authority, this ability, or this delegation of authority to act at will to the serpent, the devil, upon those same things, the fish of the sea, the the cattle, the earth, all of those things. In Luke chapter 4, let's go to Luke chapter 4, the Gospel of Luke, and this is in regard to the temptations of Jesus Christ. This is what the devil endeavored to tempt Jesus with. And it says in verse 6, "And the devil said unto him," said to Jesus, "all of this power," and here the word power is exousia, the authority to exercise power at will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Sure, because he had it. Can't give what you don't have, right? Okay. The New American Standard reads, "It has been handed over to me, and I can give it to whomsoever I wish." The New International Version reads, "I will give the authority and splendor, for it is given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to." Isn't that something? I can give it to anyone I want to. I give it. Jesus Christ rejected it. So who do you think the devil has the right to give it to and does give it to? I can give it to whomsoever I want. Well, he has a whole realm of evil spirits. Who do you think he would give that authority to act at will to? You just think about that for a minute, see? Because the scripture says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." So who has this authority over the earth? Well, Colossians 2 tells us, and that is why Jesus' victory is so significant in bringing us the more abundant life and what is necessary in order to redirect ourselves to a fuller, more fruitful life. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. You see, we vote for people, or some human moves into some other human's territory and kills them off and seizes power there. But who actually has it? Because we go and vote, but do we have the authority to do that? Who makes the authority? Then you can figure out who happens to be your candidates and who's in charge. You know, we may supply the candidate to a certain degree, but it's still his bailiwick. It's still his opportunity. It's still his authority to give it to whomsoever I will. And who do you think he gives it to? Wonder why the world is in the situation that it is? I always blame God. You know, I said, "Well, God, why did you do that?" Well, God doesn't have the authority. Who has the authority? And who gives it to whom? And how did this guy get to do this? And how did that guy get to do that? The script, you know, we just don't read the scriptures and really evaluate what the scriptures have to say. "This has been given to me, and I give it to whoever I want to." That's why if we look to that, we look to those leaders and things like that, we really don't stand a chance. No human heart, no human logic, no human reasoning, no human mind can withstand the onslaughts of the evil spirit realm. Only a man or a woman who has the Spirit of God within them, that potential power, and acts on the authority given them in the name of Jesus Christ, will ever withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. The deck was stacked, but Jesus Christ unstacked the deck. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Remember, Ephesians 6:12 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And here it says, he spoiled principality and powers. And again, that word powers is the word exousia, the authority to exercise power at will. Jesus Christ spoiled it. That means he took it. It says, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And that's very interesting. The word spoiled means he stripped them of it, of this authority. The word triumphing is the word used to mean a triumphal procession. In the Roman culture, they, and many other cultures, but particularly in the Roman culture, they had what they called triumphal processions. Those triumphal processions would be when a general made a sweeping victory in a war that led to the end of that war by capturing the enemy and their soldiers and their weapons. He was then taken, and he went along the what they called the triumphal way, and they had a big parade, and then he was honored before the Senate for this tremendous victory. And what they would do in this triumphal procession, the first thing that would go would be the heralds, and the heralds would announce what has been done and why all the people have gathered. You know, you watch a parade, people gather along the streets and stuff like that, and there's, you know, confetti and all this other stuff and that they're doing. There's a lot of cheering and all of that because we won the Super Bowl or some other reason. But this was a triumphal procession, and the heralds would go forth and they would announce, these are the people that made you afraid for your life. These are the people that threatened you. These are the weapons that they attacked you with. These are what they caused you to fear. These are what they threatened to kill you with. Here they are. Look at them. They cannot touch you. We captured them. And following that would be the troops. And the troops would not even have to carry a weapon. The Roman troops. They wouldn't even carry weapons. They just walk. Like our soldiers did after World War II, they'd walk marching down the streets and everybody be out there cheering. And then behind them were the prisoners chained together. And behind that were carts that would carry every weapon that that invading country or that nation that they took over would be piled on these carts. And they would say, these are the guys that threatened you. These are the ones that made you fearful for your life and for your children. These are the ones that made you fearful for your nation. They are in chains and they can do nothing. And these are the weapons that they threatened you with. These are the things that you were afraid of. Oh my gosh, look at those different things that they have. They can hurl these huge stones at us and all this, and they're going to break down the walls of our city. They're going to kill our children. They're going to rape our women. They're going to destroy our way of life. And then finally, that general wearing a special colored toga would ride behind him with, I think it was a four-horse chariot, if I'm not mistaken. Might be six, but he'd be on his chariot with several horses, and he would be at the end, and he would be, you know, this is our savior, this is General so-and-so. And when he got to a certain place, the Senate would greet him on the steps there, and they would give him a new name and a new title representing the victory that they had taken. Well, Jesus Christ did that to the evil spirit realm. Look at Ephesians. Hold your finger here. I want to come back to it. I want to read it again to you. But let's look at Ephesians chapter. Where is it? Chapter 4? Yes. It says, but unto, in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ is spiritually at the end of this triumphal procession. He led captivity captive. Boy, oh boy, what a tremendous thing. This, of course, happened to Titus, one of the Roman generals. And it's very clear. It says, these are whom you feared, who threatened you. These were their weapons. We have prevailed. Fear no longer. And that was the announcement to the people. And, you know, that general got to wear that special colored toga. I guess that's where that saying no longer applied. I put my pants on, I put my toga on the same way he does, one leg at a time. No, he has a special toga. So, oh boy, it's really something. And back to Colossians, it says, and having spoiled or stripped them, the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly in his resurrected body. This is the victory we have. This is the triumph that we have. Let us stand fast on the word of God. Let us put on the whole armor of God, and let us stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand, just like that general would before the Senate, and receive a new name and receive the honors for this great victory. Beautiful. Look at Luke chapter 10, because I want to show you now that we should have nothing to fear. We should have nothing to be afraid of in our day and time. You see, we are men and women who have the Spirit of God and have the authority to act on that power at will because of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And it's in that glorious name that we proclaim all of these things. I'm going to Luke chapter 10. I was going the wrong direction here. We can stand in this evil day. There is pressure upon us. There are attacks upon us, but we are undefeated. And we want to take a look at this. In Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 17, I got one more page to turn. Here we go. It says that now Jesus sent out the 70, and they come back, and the 70 returned again with fear, saying, good gravy, these evil spirits are so tremendously powerful. I mean, whoo, the stuff they do, and we are scared to death. No. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, meaning a big crash. He just came flat down. Behold, I give unto you the same way that the devil said, to whomsoever I will, I give it. Jesus rejected that offer and turns to us and says, I give unto you power, exousia. You already have the potential power with the Spirit of God upon you, or in our case, the Spirit of God within you. Now you have the authority to exercise it at will, most logically for the benefit of his kingdom. I give you power, authority, exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. And here that word power is dunamis, all of the potential power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means, what?
Hurt you.
Boy, oh boy. Oh, man. We have the authority to exercise power, that dunamis, to exercise it at will over all of the potential of the enemy. That is, all of the evil spirits put together, we have enough power and the authority to act on it at will to put the whole enemy's power on the run, so to speak. One guy, one believing one, in this evil world, not with his human logic, not with his human heart, not with his human reasoning, nor his emotions, but by the word of the Lord and the power of the Lord, acting on the authority of the Lord, we have absolute victory in every situation, if we want it, if we will to exercise it. Taking into consideration the law of believing and free will. You have the free will. You have the option to believe positively. And now you have the authority to exercise at will that powerful gift of Holy Spirit that is greater than all of the enemy put together. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. That's what's, you know, we talk about the promises of God. I don't even want to think of them as promises. I want to think of them as benefits of God, because they're there. It's whether we're going to exercise the benefit. Promise seems like it's something future. You know, I promise you I'll get this done. I promise you, you know, you'll receive payment on such and such a day. But the benefit is now. And I believe it's for the benefit of the kingdom. I prefer to use that. I know the word promise is in the Bible, but so is the word benefit. And I prefer benefit because I don't want you to think, oh, man, that some future time I'm going to really get into this. At some future time, I'm really going to do that. Benefit now, because you have all of it. You have the potential power. You have the authority to exercise it at will. It will make an impact, and it will prevail. I just picked up the bottle and held it up, if you're wondering what that noise was. See, I will give you, my disciples, I will give it to you. Power is exousia, delegated power to exercise at will. And I generally add over an area of responsibility because that's where it's supposed to be. In this case, the area of responsibility is the enemy, all of the evil spirit realm. To separate it from people. We do not have authority over people. Our authority is over the spirit realm in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't have authority over people. People have to, by their free will and believing, subject themselves to us, to authority, and then we can exercise it over them. If they're willing to submit themselves. Remember the word submit is to be lovingly obedient by deliberate decision and proper arrangement. And within the church, God has set a beautiful arrangement for people. And if we're willing to follow through on that and lovingly obey God and place ourselves under subjection, we will then receive the benefit. See, every man and every woman has free will and operates the law of believing, positively or negatively. So God also exhorts us to be subject then to one another in respect of the Lord. If I need healing and I subject myself to Jerry, then Jerry's going to be able to, by his believing and his free will and the exousia that he has, the authority to exercise power at will, can then minister to me. He doesn't have to be, a special situation, but he can do that. We clearly see power and authority to stand against the kingdom of darkness. Remember that word, so. This is the reason why God has given us this type of authority in the name of Jesus Christ, or why Jesus then said, I give to you authority. God wanted us to have dominion, most logically, to benefit the kingdom of God. So let's consider one more section of verses in Ephesians chapter 1. So this authority is magnificent, and if we really desire to live a powerful, more fruitful life, then we need to really see that we are utilizing our free will for the benefit of his kingdom, that we are believing positively, that we're not fading from the power of God, we're not shrinking from the power of God, but we are moving with a great positive forward effect and then exercising that authority for the blessing of the kingdom. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, I guess I had you keep your ribbon in Genesis. You can go back there and take a look at it, but I do want to go through one more section of scriptures before we close out this morning. And that is here in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, beginning in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, that gift of Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of the glory of God. It is a token. It is the earnest. It's a token, like a sample, perhaps. When you make a purchase, it is the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Well, we've been purchased by Jesus Christ. When is the redemption of that? It will be at the return of Christ and going forward. In other words, once we move into the eternal life phase of life, so to speak, when we move into eternity, that is when we that this is a token for now until that time, unto the praise of the glory of God. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? Because of that simple little word of so. We received, it, when man was created, he was given the capability and the right to exercise that power at will. The reason being is so that he could carry out the dominion that was given to him. Now that we have victory over victory through Jesus Christ over all of the enemy and other things that are involved, while we are on this earth, we have a token. That token is sufficient enough to take care of everything we would need in this life to live a fuller, more fruitful, more abundant life. If that is the token that was required, imagine what we are going to be have dominion and responsibility and what we will need to be capable and exercise in the next administration, not next administration, in all of eternity. Imagine what we will have the capability and the authority needed to do so we can benefit his kingdom in eternity. See, this is what we have now is dynamic. It, you know, one believing believer acting upon the power of God that's resident within him, that stored power, and the freedom to exercise it at will can take care of the entire evil spirit realm, all the potential of the enemy, whatever we are going to be doing in eternity when Christ returns, when the redemption of the inheritance comes, the redemption of the purchased possession comes, is going to require something even greater than that. And God will see to it that we not only have the capability, but we will also have the authority to exercise it and utilize it. See, in his kingdom, we will have even greater authority, greater capability, and greater power in that administration. God be blessed for the more, for the fuller, more fruitful life we have inherited through Jesus Christ. God bless you.